Dr. Dobson, you've written in several publications about the parental responsibility to shape the will without breaking the spirit of the child. That phrase has a familiar ring to it, but what does it really mean?
Well, let's take a closer look at the two halves of it, Flo, and maybe we can clarify the issue. I have written about it in several places, and still there are some questions that come up in reference to what I really meant, and maybe this is the best time to try to explain it. Let's begin with the spirit of a child and what that really means. The spirit, as far as I'm concerned, is the most fragile characteristic in human nature. The spirit of a child relates to self-esteem and self-worth. There's a natural tendency in children and all of us as human beings to question our adequacy, to need constant evidence that we are worthy individuals, that we have something to offer, that we can compete, that somebody loves us, that somebody cares for us. That's really what the spirit is all about, and you have to handle the spirit of a child very carefully. And you can damage it when you're not even intending to. You can damage it by insults, by humor, by just being so busy that the child doesn't feel included, doesn't feel loved. The spirit of a child is very, very fragile, and it won't take much harassment. If you don't love the child, if you don't like him very much, if you think he's dumb or he's ugly, he'll usually pick it up. So these things relate to what is frequently called the spirit, and it's very costly to the emotional apparatus of children to experience those kinds of frustrations. On the other hand, while the spirit of a child is extremely fragile, the will of a child is not fragile at all. The will is a separate entity. The will is made of steel. The will is often expressed full strength at the moment of birth. It doesn't have to be developed. It is there. The will is that expression of personal desire and the expression of the personality that says, I will have my way. And it's very different in nature from the spirit. While the spirit is delicate and has to be handled very carefully, the will can be molded. You can shape it. You can influence it. In fact, I think we have, as parents, a God-given responsibility to mold that will, to give a child self-control and control of his own impulses. And we do that by requiring certain reasonable responsibilities of him in our relationship with him.
Can you give us an example of how the will is expressed in the early years?
Yes, I was talking to a father the other day who was telling me about his little 3-year-old girl that has a very strong will. Incidentally, if I can kind of add a parenthesis here, it's possible for a person whose spirit has been completely crushed to have a very strong will. For example, a person who sits on a window ledge of an 8-story building threatening to jump may have his spirit totally crushed. He feels no worth, no sense of adequacy, and yet his determination to do what he plans to do can sometimes frustrate the efforts of the fire department and the police department and everybody else. You see, the will is different than the spirit.
That's a helpful illustration.
But in reference to the little girl, this father took his daughter with him to a basketball game, and that was probably a mistake to take a 3-year-old there because she was interested in everything in the gymnasium except the basketball game. And he took her up into the stands and sat down with her, and of course she didn't want to stay there. And he shouldn't have kept her there, and he didn't keep her there. He allowed her to climb down. But he saw that she was going to get out on the basketball floor, so he took his little daughter by the hand, and he walked down the bleachers, down to the gym floor, and out to the line that was painted on the gym floor. And he said, Janie, you can play anywhere you want to. You can play all over the bleachers in the stands. And he showed her what he meant by that. You can play anywhere behind this line. You can play anywhere in the gymnasium, but don't go past this line. He turned around and he went up the bleachers to sit down, and you know what happened. He sat down and he turned around, and there went Janie down the bleacher steps to the gymnasium floor, and immediately, right straight out to that line. And she ran out there and she stopped. And he said the little rascal turned around with a grin on her face and looked at her daddy and then tossed 1 foot over the line. You know, and looking back over her shoulder. And what she was saying is, what you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You see, you gave me a boundary, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to stay within it. Now, that is an expression of the will. And it is there at birth. A child at 5 days of age is fully capable of letting you know what he wants and when he wants it. And he comes out yelling about the temperature of the delivery room and of the way the nurses are handling things.
That's what that crying is.
You better know it. Of course, that has a physiological base as well. But a little child is capable of expressing the will very early. And I saw some research, very interesting research the other day, that shows that long before a child can talk to you or express it, he reaches out for the control and the manipulation of his parents, even in the first months of life. That expression of the will is very, very evident in very young children.
That's just fascinating. Dr. Dobson, going back to the little girl at the basketball game, do you think that she wanted her dad to discipline her at that moment?
Well, I think her real motive was to test her father's courage and to find out just where the boundaries lie. Children really care about that issue. They really want to know who's in charge, who's toughest. A teacher can just count on it about the second or third day in the classroom. As soon as the kids get comfortable, somebody will ask that question. How tough are you? Are you really prepared to lead? Do I really have to follow you? Children care about that, and they will nearly all ask that question at one time or another because they find security in defined limits. During the heyday of the progressive education movement, this characteristic of children was poorly understood. I think it's even worse today. And one of the educators thought that the children probably felt hemmed in by the chain-link fence that went around the playground, and that the children would be much more comfortable if they would take down that fence and not feel the barrier of having that boundary there. So they took down the fence, and what they discovered was that instead of playing out next to the edge of the property, as the children had before, they huddled near the center of the playground because of the security of that fence. And when it was removed, then they were more fearful and pulled together in a herd in the center. I think you and I would behave the same way if we were walking over a bridge, perhaps over Royal Gorge or where there's a drop on both sides. Just having that handrail there, the edge of the bridge there, means you'll walk closer to it with greater security and comfort. Mm-hmm. You remove that handrail and just have a drop off and you walk down the center stripe. See, so children find security in knowing where those limits are. And very early in life, they will begin to ask those questions in a very willful, defiant way. Are you in charge or aren't you? Are you prepared to lead? Need I respect you? Are you worthy of my respect? And see, the shaping of the will involves answering those questions in a very loving and mature way without attacking the spirit of the child, which has to do with his self-worth.
It's so interesting to see the difference in the spirit and the will. I've never thought of it in that way before.
There are two definite facets to the personality, and I think it helps us know how to discipline if we get a clear concept of those two ingredients.
Now that we've defined what the spirit and the will are, would you explain what you mean by shaping the will without breaking the spirit?
Well, I think we can do that best, Flo, by sharing a letter which I received from a mother, which I think will make the distinction clear. I get an awful lot of mail from parents dealing with very difficult discipline problems, and this is a sad letter. Many of them are sad because you can see the frustrations that parents are going through. But listen to what she had to say. Dear sir, more than anything else in the world, I want to have a happy family. Now, that's the sad part, because there's no chance of her having a happy family. We have a girl 7 years old and a boy 10. They don't get along at all. The boy and his father don't get along either. And I find myself screaming at the kids. That's her method of dealing with discipline. And sitting on my son to keep him from hitting and kicking his sister. His teacher of the past year thought he needed to learn some better ways of getting along with his classmates. And you can bet that was an understatement, a euphemism. He had some problems on the playground, and he had a horrible time on the school bus, and he couldn't seem to be able to walk from the bus stop to our house without getting in a fight or throwing rocks at somebody. So I usually picked him up and brought him home myself. He is very bright, but writes poorly and hates to do it. He is impulsive and quick-tempered. We all are now. He is tall and strong. Our pediatrician says he has everything going for him. But Billy seldom finds anything constructive to do. He likes to watch television, play in the water, and dig in the dirt. He's 10 years old. We're very upset about his diet, but we haven't been able to do anything about it. Notice the absence of leadership. They just don't know what to do about it except to scream. He drinks milk and Jell-O and eats crackers and toast. Now she's going to tell you what a good diet is. In the past, he ate lots of hot dogs and bologna, but not much lately. He also craves chocolate and bubble gum. We have a grandma nearby who sees that he gets lots of it. We haven't been able to do anything about that either. She also feeds him baby food. His teachers, neighbor children, and his sister complain about him swearing and name-calling. Whenever something is missing or broken, we immediately think of Billy. This is really a bad situation because we're always thinking of him in a bad light. But hardly a day goes by when something isn't upset or broken. He's been breaking windows since he was a toddler. One day in June, he came home early from school and found the house locked. So he threw a rock through his bedroom window, broke it, and crawled in. Another day recently, he tried the glass cutter out on our bedroom mirror. He spends a great deal of time at the grandmother's, grandma's, who caters to him. We feel she's a bad influence, but so are we when we are constantly upset and screaming. Oh, anyhow, we have now what seems to be a hopeless situation. He's growing bigger and stronger, but not any wiser. So what are we to do, or where are we to go? Then she comes to her final paragraph, and she says, now understand this in the context, Flo, that we've been talking about, the will and the spirit. My husband says he refuses to take Billy anywhere ever again until he matures and acts like a civilized human being. He has threatened to put him in a foster home. I couldn't send him to a foster home. He needs people who know what to do with him. Please help us if you can. Yours truly. P.S. Our children are adopted, and there isn't much of anything left in our marriage. Now, that is a sad letter, because it would take me several weeks to tell that mother what that letter evokes in me, the mistakes that she has made. You see, what's actually taking place here? You have a child with a very strong will who is begging some adult in his life to help him control his own impulses. That's what all that behavior is all about. You see, he attacks the authority of the teacher. She doesn't know what to do. She calls home and says he needs to learn better ways of getting along with his classmates. He attacked the bus driver. Bus driver didn't know what to do. He tells Mama. Mama doesn't know what to do. He is fighting and name-calling in the neighborhood. He's throwing rocks through the window. He's taking the glass cutter and he's wrecking the mirror. He's breaking windows. He's eating poorly. He's refusing to accept responsibility. At 10 years old, he's playing in the water. He's watching television. He's digging in the dirt. See, this is a bright child. He really is. He's a very bright child, and he knows what he's doing. He knows that he is making these mistakes, but he is trying to get somebody. He is desperate to find somebody who is strong enough and tough enough to lead him, but to do it with love. He wants somebody to shape his will, to say there are reasonable boundaries. You must not go over them. If you do, you will pay the consequences. Instead, what do his parents do? Instead of shaping his will, they focus all of their attention on his spirit, you see. Mm-hmm. And they are directing their discipline at his spirit. The father, the husband, says, I'm going to throw you out of this family. I'm not going to take you anywhere ever again. Why don't you grow up and act like a civilized human being? We're going to throw you out of this family. We're not even sure we love you anyway. They're screaming at him. They're yelling at him. See, that does not shape the will. What shapes the will is reasonable boundaries enforced with love. Instead, they're focusing their behavior on his worth, which is non-existent. His sense of inadequacy is very obvious. That's why that child is so angry. That's why he's destroying the mirror and doing these things. is because he feels such a tremendous lack of love and worth. They are focusing their behavior at the wrong point. Instead of dealing with his will, they are dealing with his spirit.
Well, that's a poignant illustration of the difference between the two. I don't know if you want to get into this now, but is there any hope for a child like that?
Well, he's 10 years old, and it's getting late. Once you let that kind of child get into adolescence, you have a wild ride ahead. It's not too late, and there are things that they can do. As a matter of fact, to be very honest with you, if circumstances were a little different, I would like to have that child in my own home for a while. I would consider it a real challenge, and I would like to bring him in, and about the time he had unpacked his suitcase, the boy and I would have a little conversation, and there'd be a few things that I'd like to say to him right from the beginning, as you can imagine.
Yes. Now, what would you have done differently with Billy?
Let's suppose that I did have him in my home. Mm-hmm. Let's suppose that he has just arrived.
At this age?
Yes, at 10 years of age. And he is going to be my guest for 6 months or so in my home. How would I handle him? I think that it would be very wise, first of all, to begin reestablishing Billy's spirit. Mm-hmm. And I would begin it by saying, Billy, I want you to know something. I want you to look me right in the eye because I have something very important to say to you. I care about you. You are important to me as a person. That God made you with his hands. And because of that, you're going to live someplace forever. And for that reason, I love you. I care about you. I'm glad you're here in my home. I didn't invite you here reluctantly. I've brought you here because I wanted you here. I want to get to know you. I want you to be part of our family. There will be no difference between you and other members of our family. And if you feel that you're not getting your fair share in something, you come tell me because I want to hear it. And if you think I have not given you a fair decision when it's necessary to discipline you, you can talk to me. And I will listen to you. And if I'm wrong, I will back up. Because I want you to be happy here. And I want you to feel comfortable. But there's something else that you really need to know. See, now I've been talking about the spirit. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go talk about the will. Although I don't make that distinction to him. There's something else that I want you to know, Billy. Is that you know that you've made a lot of mistakes. And you've been getting in trouble in school and getting in trouble at home and breaking the rules and your parents have been upset and screaming at you and so on. I want you to know that there are some things that I am going to require of you. And I'm going to set up some reasonable rules and boundaries. And here they are. And I would list them and they'd be highly concrete. I expect this of you and that of you. You will carry your fair share of the responsibility and work around here. You will do your homework and it will get done every night. And I will be involved in it and I'm going to know what you're doing and why. And there'll be some certain things that I have to expect from you. Now listen to me. You haven't been used to keeping rules and staying within certain boundaries. And it's going to be kind of hard for you. And to help you get adjusted to that, I want you to know that I am going to be right there. And when you deliberately refuse to do what you're told, then I'm going to bust you. There are going to be consequences. And sometimes it'll be some pretty hard swats on your rear end.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other times when you'll be treated in other ways. But as soon as you agree to live within those reasonable boundaries, then the pressure will come off of you. And we're going to help you become a mature, responsible citizen. And I'm really excited about this opportunity to get to know you. And again, I want the door of communication open to you, and you can say anything to me that you want to say. And maybe we should start right at this moment. Anything you want to say? You see, and so you begin to build the spirit and worth, but also you begin to shape that will.
Well, how about if his parents, if their eyes were open to the difference between the spirit and the will? It was a little different having Billy come into your home, but now, could the parents do the same thing?
I doubt it in this case, because they've had 10 years to establish a relationship of disrespect and screaming and the kind of things that were represented in this letter. And it would be very hard for them, without outside help, to just suddenly change. I think if there is hope for this family, and there is, it would be through the assistance of a counselor or somebody who understood children, pre-teenagers, and parents, and would help bring them together under a different umbrella than they now have.
I see. Dr. Dobson, how can we as parents prevent those problems in the first place?
Well, that's the great opportunity that parents have, and it's done in the early years by paying attention again to the will and the spirit. Usually you begin shaping the will by setting up reasonable boundaries when the child is between 18 and 20 months of age. About that time, he will begin to express that will. And then, of course, watching the spirit all the way through. Proverbs 18:14 says, "A wounded spirit, who can bear?" It really cuts deep, and it's the balance between those two factors that produces healthy children.
Well, Dr. Dobson, your insights have been most valuable, and we thank you, and a special thanks to Flo Schmidt for helping us out today.